Greetings, Earthlings. We return to you after a bi-weekly delay.
How are you guys finding the bi-week now? I think it makes the episode more jam-packed, and dare I say, chaotic, as you will find in this week's episode. But we had a great time recording it. We covered so much. Demon Slayer, episodes 2 and 3 of season 4. Kaiju number 8, episodes 6 and 7. My Hero Academia, episodes 3 and 4 of season 7. Mushoku Tensei, episode 19 of season 2. The Shogun finale, Grant's review on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Iron Claw, Tires, Sakamoto Days. So many things, so much to be excited about. We're back, we're in your ears, and we're happy to be here despite the amount of bitching I do in the first couple of minutes of this podcast. Enjoy. Hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
What's up, bro?
How are we doing?
I'm good, man. I'm getting through it. I'm getting through it, dude.
Yeah, man.
At what point do you think it happens to most people where, like, their answer to that question is, like, I'm just barely holding on?
Because
that's where I'm at. I'm barely holding
barely
on.
Barely holding on. Damn, dude. Yeah, I'm a plan. Why record this podcast? Why are we not having a pint? Getting over it.
My God.
No, I know. I hear you, dude. We got a lot going on in our lives.
It's just so weird. No one tells you that when you're, like, it's weirder because you have kids. Mm. Like, I just feel like I have no time. And, like, how do you feel? You must feel like you lose time. Like, you have negative time.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think from, like, an outside viewing of it, it does look like that. But I think it just becomes a very meticulous game of, like, calendar management daily time management.
Yeah.
You know, I don't ever feel like I'm, like, missing out on anything. There's just, you know, more time goes to other things and whatnot. But it just makes the things that much more sweeter when you get to sit down and enjoy it on your own free time. And
Yeah.
You finally hear the kid going to bed. And I know he's not because I can hear him banging on the wall in the other room. But when he finally is asleep and it's just you guys at the end of the night, crack a pint, watch some anime. It's probably the sweetest, sweetest nectar ever. But,
nectar, yeah, of the gods.
Nectar of the gods.
It's just that that Monday to Friday grind,
mm-hmm.
and then Saturday, Sunday is like your, it's like, oh yeah, it's like the weekends here, right? But, like, inevitably you have errands, you gotta do groceries. Yeah.
I actually hate weekends now.
That's the thing, is that, like, they provide a reset, that's mm-hmm. true, but if a weekend is 48 hours... Sincerely, I feel like I have four of them across 2.5 days.
I am a huge the idea and the concept of the 4-day work week is, like, it truly, like, over the years, like, I always opt in. Like, if I can take the Friday off, I will. You know, it's like I can manage my finances where, like, I can just, like, not work that day, and, you know, and just I always find having that Friday to, like, almost more or less the me time plus some stuff around the house.
Yeah.
Then I feel like I'm never losing as much on Saturday, Sunday. But yeah, Sunday nights suck. It just feels like you're looking into the
there's oblivion. There's a term for it. They call it the Sunday scaries.
Really? The Sunday scaries? I've never heard that before.
Sunday scaries. I think it's also, like, I agree with you on the 4-day work week thing, just because it's like, I think the easy counter is like, yeah, but then you might have to work 10-hour days. But it's like,
no.
Yeah, but by, like, 8-hour days, it's like, well, for one, I never work just 8 hours. It's always more. And for two, it's like, let's say, like, Monday to Friday, like, the way the routine goes, it's so structured in that it's like, okay, yeah, you work those 8 or 9 hours, and then, you know, you have, what, 40 minutes? Then dinner. And how long does that take? And then clean up. And then what? What do you guess what you do next? You prep for the next day and you do it again. It's like, you have no time anyway. You're not giving up anything.
Yeah, the old routine. Are you sleeping right now?
What?
Sleeping? When you finally get to the couch and you know you're sitting down, you're watching that one episode of something. Are you sleeping? No. Your eyes are closed right now. No, I'm not. They're open.
Yeah, exactly.
Every night.
Okay.
All right. Should we stop our middle-age groaning?
Yes.
And get to some anime.
What's going
to
happen when we're actually middle-aged? Because I feel like a lot of my bitching is kind of preemptive middle-age.
Yeah.
And when I'm genuinely 38, like, I got to turn this around. I have an outlook problem. I'm very half-glass empty.
Yeah.
I think it's starting to become a problem.
No. No, I think it just at that point you are so worn down. It's just, you know, just kind of continue. Carry, or what is it? Keep calm, carry on.
Keep calm, like carry on. Remember that merch? Yeah. That shit was everywhere.
Yeah, dude.
We need a little bit more of that, you know? We need we need some bit. Now people call it mindfulness, and then you hate them. Mm. Or that's just me. Anyway, okay. Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer. Here we go.
Let's get it.
Brace yourselves. Grant.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a pretty clear look based off these episodes that are out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cover episodes 2 and 3. Because remember, the first one was like a double. I think we have a pretty clear idea of what this season looks like.
I think so. Yeah. They're pretty, they very structurally, they've set up a very structured, segmented season, I think.
So I don't know if you, would you call it a filler arc?
You know, I would, like, you know, it's obviously, like, by the end of the season, we'll have a bigger picture. But at this point, they've given us enough juicy tidbits and some healthy amount of time with characters we have not seen in quite a while. It does not feel filler-ish. I could see where some people would say that. But, you know, the stuff with Giyu, like, that whole episode is just, like, you know, like, chef's kiss. That was, like, my guy. You know, like, where have you been for 3 seasons? And it really kind of opened the door. A little maybe too quick. I think that might be the issue by the end of this. Because this is what... I think they have said it's only 8 episodes.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah. Short in time. A little short and sweet. But I don't know. I've really enjoyed it so far. But
you know, how about you? Difference. This is the difference. This is... You're the half glass full, dude. I'm just sitting here fucking pissed. Like, where are the demons? There's not enough...
We had 10 in the... We had Tengen in the woods there. I got a little spooky for a second.
Yeah. Okay. Tengen in the woods. All right. No, that's... I think that's fair. Because to your point,
yeah,
they haven't done like a ton of this. No. Where, like, I guess the last arc rather of the first season was kind of like Tanjiro recovering at Demon Slayer HQ, and that was like 7 episodes, which is kind of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't know if it was 7. It's probably like 4 or 5. But this is probably gonna end up with a tee off for the final arc, like we kind of predicted, right? It was like, do you think they will get half into the final arc and then continue it and finish things off in a conclusive final season / movie? Or will they just, like, the very end of this season maybe sets up the final arc? I think I'm more leaning in that category, but, like, they still have over half of it left, so I guess they could shake things up.
I think it is the latter. I think it is they are going to just tee up, you know, I don't think they're going to dip into the next thing, but they are going to tee it up. But I also think they are. I think they might end it, like, explosively. Like, I don't think they're just going to, like, peter us off and be like, all right, we'll see, you know, see what we see. Or see next season kind of thing, or movie, what have you. But, I don't know, because they're already teeing up, like, a big fight, like a training thing. Also, I seem to remember, I thought Hashiras were not, or Demon Slayers were not supposed to draw their swords on each other.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to fight with, like, dummy swords or something.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe if it's in the name of a training exercise.
Okay.
It's different.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
It is very, like, I'm not mad at it, but it is very, in my mind... I know I sound negative. I'm not trying to be negative, but it is very, like, we need to kill some time. Like, we need, but it is also maybe a bit fan servicey.
Sure.
In an exciting way. Like, I'm not mad at it, but it is, like, it doesn't feel like it's part of the show sometimes. You know what I mean?
Leanne and I had a bit of a chuckle because we kind of looked at each other and I was like, what are we in Naruto now? Because this feels like, you know, there'll be like a very big arc in Shippuden or even like the OG series. And there's, like, so much going on, and it's, like, heavy. And then, like, just off to the side, there's these two other characters that, like, are associated to the conflict at large. But they're just having this duel, you know? It's just, like, it feels very, like, very, very shonen jumpy.
Yeah. So, weird, yeah. Right?
It was weird. I just felt like... But maybe they have to get out of the way for, you know, them to be away and do their fighting. But maybe we'll get to know those two characters a little more through their fight, because they feel like very closed off characters, and I feel like
that's actually a good point.
They don't have the season, or we don't have the season time to, like, really get them one on one their own episodes, which they, presuming they will have, because we are getting all the Hashiras. But
that's actually a really good point, though. Now that you make me think of it, wanna bet they do an episode on those two fighting, and throughout that episode are your typical anime flashbacks on, like, what drives each character. That's probably exactly what they're going to do.
I would love to see it.
And actually, the Wind Hashira, we kind of have his backstory already because... Wait.
His brother. The Bakugo there. The shotgun
yes,
demon.
Yes, yes. Genya. Genya. Yeah. That's why. That's why. He's Genya adjacent. And through Genya's backstory, we basically got his.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they like do more. They focus more on the serpent guy. Oh, mm-hmm. you want to hear something that blew my mind?
Hit me.
I got a couple theories, too. But first, and Vivian, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm pretty sure she has read the manga.
Wait, I believe so, yeah, yeah.
She's actually read the manga too?
No, she started, but she's just like, okay. I'd just rather watch the show.
Okay, well, what I read in a Reddit comment, which, if you're familiar with the stuff going on in AI, is basically the source of all truth. It's just random Reddit comments. Okay. But what I read was... You know that amazing sequence that opened up the season with the Demon Slayer? The two of them, the Hashiras.
Infinity Train, yeah. Infinity Castle.
They fell into it at the end there?
Yeah. Yeah.
What I read was that was entirely anime original, not included whatsoever in the manga.
Whoa, interesting.
Which was, like, by far my favorite part so far of the season. It was amazing.
Yeah, that opener was incredible.
I'm curious if that's true at all, but that was fucking cool. Okay, and then... What do I have here? Oh, I have a theory. This feels like a lock to me. And I have not seen... I think I've seen, like, frames of spoilers from the manga, which are irritating. Mm. But, like, I'm hoping none of them are major. But I'm not going to say what they are in case they are. But they have no bearing whatsoever on my two theories I have for you.
Okay.
One is, do you want to bet that Tanjiro's original water-breathing trainer from season one on the mountain makes an appearance?
Oh, of course.
He has to, right?
Yeah, if Tengen's coming back to assist.
Yeah.
Because they did mention in this episode, or either Giyu's episode or this episode, that like all former Hashira are involved, so yeah.
Okay, so that's one. That feels like a lock. I hope we see him again. And it also would be really cool if Tanjiro got the OG... there's a name for that? Like the jacket he wears? You know, he has, like, the checkered pattern now.
Like the kimono?
I think it's kimono.
I guess maybe it's not technically a kimono. But
you know what I'm talking about? Because he had the water-breathing one. Well, then again, he's not really a water-breather anymore.
Because, one, it was based on, like, his family or his father's
Yeah, what he wears now is his family one. But when he went to Final Selection in Season 1, his water-breathing trainer gave him a blue one that he wore.
Yes.
For it. But I was like, oh, maybe he'll get that back. But then again, he's not really a water breather anymore. So
I did think it was an interesting point in Giyu's episode where he was like kind of scolding him on like, you should be like the water Hashira. Like, is like that path has been set for you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn, man, a lot of expectation on Tanjiro from you also, right off the bat.
Yeah. Giyu's backstory was interesting that he didn't really think himself worthy.
Yeah. Crazy. Very crazy.
And also, I mean, along those lines, Tanjiro being the only one who could keep up with Tengen, do you think he continues?
The Beefcake episode was awesome, dude. It's awesome. They're all just running around with their shirts off.
Like, yeah, completely potatoed out. Comically small. Large.
All of them do. It's so funny.
But I get it. But do you think that continues and Tanjiro's able to keep pace with all the Hashira? Or do you think eventually he gets crushed like everybody else?
Well, there's two trains of thought, right? Like, he's, like, you know, shonen MC where he's just gonna, like, continue leaps and bounds. Because he is essentially the flag carrier, right? Yeah. Like, A, he inspired the Hashiras to, you know, the mark has been passed on. He inspired this whole class group. I think it's just gonna be, like, a compilation of, like, group to group to group. And, like, you know, he touches them in some way, their heart, you know, in typical Tanjiro fashion. We do get a point where... The Mist Hashira is probably just going to spank him when it comes to swordplay. Like, they've already set up that, like, you know, I think it was, it would have been last season. I think comments are made to, like, Tanjiro. Like, his sword skills are very good, but, like, again, there's still leaps and bounds ahead of him between the Mist because he is, like, so competent.
Well, the Mist
blade,
guy, I think, is even younger than Tanjiro. And didn't he become a Hashira in, like, 2 months or some bullshit?
It was something crazy like
it
that.
Was some,
or, yeah,
it was
2 years
level.
Or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like also, we haven't seen any of the other Hashira. Maybe they all spank him. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But, I understand. I haven't seen too much chatter online, like, against the season so far. But I can see people like, oh, this is just, like, a stepping stone season. But I'm enjoying my time with it. Like, it looks great. It looks bounds better than last season did. Like, even just the day-to-day stuff. Like, not just the action. It looks incredible.
It's fun to have the characters back.
Yes. You know, it's a show that thrives on its personalities.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have them kind of locked away, which kind of goes against the whole concept of, like, a battle shonen, but, like, it kind of sucks to have them all locked up in battle the entire time and just, you know, I don't know. It's, I like the game. It's a great cast of characters, and it's a shame to have, it was a shame not to have them all last season, but this is nice. All
right. Are you ready for my end game theory?
Hit me.
So it's not how the anime ends, but obviously Upper One is a big part of the lore / mystery, right?
Sure.
And we're operating on very little info, but yeah, so like stick with me. But Tanjiro got this magic sword, right? out of the doll.
Yeah.
Based off maybe an ancestor of his, we don't really know, but a guy who we believe's name is Yorichi.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know, because they've mentioned it now in the anime at least 2 or 3 times, that this guy, Yorichi, beat the shit out of Muzan and drove him into a corner. As I think that's what they said an episode or two ago. So the theory is, and I don't think this one is a crazy one, that Yorichi's probably Upper One, right?
I think so, yeah.
So that's not a leap.
I think it's pretty visually implied.
Yeah.
unless that's a total fake out or a red
herring.
Which
would be irritating. But my thought is this. I saw a clip come by on YouTube, and it was that clip from season 3 where it's like Tanjiro's like double, like his ancestor, talking to Yorichi.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a very somber guy, and he says something along the lines of, I failed to protect anything I cared about in my life.
Mm.
Like, he's a very sad dude. So my theory is either out of shame or guilt or maybe the prospect of like eternal life, Muzan convinced Yorichi to become a demon willingly.
Hmm.
And that's why he is the way he is. Or he like underhanded found a way to like inject him with blood and convert him. But I'm
or he's a sleeper agent. He's waiting for someone strong enough to get to the point to fight Muzan, then he can be like, yo, I got your back. That would be crazy.
That would be sick as fuck.
That would be cool.
But clear, I definitely think that like Upper One has like a major story thread that we're going to see in one shape or form. I think that is probably the biggest question, is like, how did he end up there?
Mm.
Right?
I think it's crazy to me that like, if this, you know, we have 5 episodes left, you know, we have...
Fuck, it's crazy when you say it like that.
You know, we don't have, you know, don't know what's going on with Domu, Akaza, and then Yorichi, and plus like Muzan itself. Would it even be feasible in a single movie and or like a second season, just like another 12 episode season, to cover all that?
Yeah.
It makes me wonder like if maybe there is like one more season or there's like a handful of movies to kind of cover that. Or, but because we need to know the beef between Akaza and Dome. Like, I know it's something like he jumped him or whatever.
That's
but
a good point. Yeah, he did jump him. I wonder, I mean, maybe it really does go gangbusters and we go Battle Royale style. Like, I do think one... See, this is back when I thought the that Infinity Castle scene at the beginning of this season was in the manga. I was like, oh, maybe that's foreshadowing to showing us, like, they may have found Swordsmith Village last season, but we're about to find a way to the castle. And maybe we're going to counter, and all the Hashira are gonna roll up.
There's no way there isn't, like, a crazy final showdown in that place.
Yeah.
Like, all the different, like, dimensions and, you know, like, literally, like, 3D dimensions and, like, someone's fighting over here and someone's fighting over there.
Exactly. Like, so the question is, how many Hashira and how many Upper Moons are left by the time that happens? Like, God, that's going to be sick.
All hands on deck, Infinity Castle, that's my money.
Get Giyu fucking up some people. You know what I mean? Like, he has to play a significant role. In that.
I think Giyu goes toe-to-toe with Akaza would be my money, or where my money is, because him and Rengoku had a very specific relationship.
That'd be so tight.
Yeah.
I think he spanks him, though.
Yeah, you donut, my boy. Fuck you up.
All right, well, you got me pumped.
Demon Slayer, I feel great. Every like at the end of every episode, I'm just like, yes, dude. Like, the show rocks. It's so good.
Kaiju number 8. Also,
speaking of show that fucking rocks.
Yeah, speaking of show that fucking rocks, like, these two shows being on the weekend is like breathing life into this cranky old man that I've become. Like, I just finished the work week. Like, what am I fucking living for? Then I wake up Saturday. Oh, hey, Cartoons. That's right.
I'm going to go hang out with Kafka for 20 minutes.
Yeah, dude. I also, I got to say, I love that his name is Kafka. Love that. But we got a little pair of episodes here. And we got like, well, actually, how many is this first season going for? Do you know? Episodes?
12. So we have 5 left.
Goddamn, already.
Isn't that, I think that hurts more than saying there's 5 left of Demon Slayer. There's only 5 left of Kaiju number 8.
Yeah, that does hurt. Man, that's a bummer because it's so good. But I think as pairs of episodes go, these two were quite strong. And it actually, they go quite well together, like hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little tiny arc.
Yeah, but Ichikawa is coming into his own.
I love that. There's only two so far that what's the vice captain's name? Hoshino. He's like, there's only like two here for sure that I can say will be captains one day. And like for him, for the camera to like pan to Ichikawa, I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah,
my boy,
you got it, dude.
That this whole plot line of him and the pink haired guy like being in competition with each other, but the pink haired guy's more the one in competition with himself a little bit is interesting.
Yeah, it was good. It played out. I really thought, I was like, oh, okay, this is just going to be like, see, to me, this felt like cheesy filler off the bat.
Same.
And then as it played out, I was like, ah, you guys got me. Well played. You know, like sometimes like you just don't treat the audience like idiots, right? Like get into it, like flesh it out. And if you can do it in that span of time, then awesome. Like we're going to follow it, you know, like it's, but yeah, I don't know. I think they pulled it off.
It wasn't working for me until they ran into the humanoid kaiju.
Yep.
We don't have a name for them, that person, do we?
Not yet. Kaiju number 9, I guess, but... Yeah,
okay, but it didn't work for me until then. And I was like, oh, wait, I don't want the pig-haired guy to die, though. And I was immediately worried and invested.
Yeah.
So that worked. I think...
That like, fight was awesome, too. Like, as they continue...
Kafka versus the humanoid?
Even just before he gets there, you can tell when he goes to, like, finish them off... And I think the pink-haired guy realizes, like, oh, like, he was literally 20. It felt like a Frieza moment of, you know, like, the, you know, when they think they're getting... Remember when Frieza's in his first form? And, like, they're kind of, like laying an ass-beating on him?
Not
and
an ass-beating, like, but they're, like, it's even. It's competitive.
Yeah. And then, like there's, like, barely, like, a dial touch. And, yeah. Like, you know, like, he's, like, you know, messing him up or whatever. And it kind of felt like that. Of, like, oh, yeah, he... But the show did a good job of showing that, like, he wasn't toying with them. He is such an analytical villain, and he is, like, picking up all this information and putting it together, and then when he goes to, like, unload the super attack, it's just, like, you know, the dire face. I thought it was really good.
I don't know how I didn't mention that. Like, you're... The analytical villain part, yes, but similar to Frieza, actually, not really. My favorite part about this villain is the sound design on his voice.
Yes, and Kafka, too, has the same, a similar effect.
Yeah.
Really, like, when he's in the, when kaiju, he's in the kaiju form, yeah.
Yeah, Sam was walking by and she's like, I do not like that voice. And I was like, that's definitely the point.
Like, it literally sounds like someone like talking in water in a sewer. It's so gross. I love it.
That's the thing. It's gross and uncomfortable. And gotta appreciate the sound design. And you're right. They're doing something similar but different to Kafka's voice. Yeah. Anything else on Kaiju number 8?
No, I don't know. Like, just so fluid and they... I think my favorite thing about the show is it looks consistently good. Like it's, you know, like a 7.5 or an 8 or whatever. And then, but they really focus their attention on like those big blow up moments and the Sakuga. Like whether it's anytime Kafka swings that arm or he's charging it up or, you know, the best friend, the captain, she's on the sniper rifle, which is so sick. Her like blowing
Miwa?
Miwa, yeah, I think.
Miwa? Her blowing that, what's like the other name? Is it Kongju?
There's the Yoju or the smaller one.
Yoju, yes.
And then, anyway, so she's like destroying that thing. It's like, you know, continuing to shoot. And just like the charging of the laser and hitting it and like the viscera. And
satisfying.
And like, and when Kafka was like, you know, he's trying to do his part and he's like trying to dissect, you know, the smaller Yojus or whatever. And just the detail they did in the body. I really, really like the detail of this show. I am missing the comedy that I loved at the top, but, you know, it's an action arc. Like, I get that. So
yeah, I was about to say, you got to appreciate that they can do both. Because they definitely prove that they can do both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My next question for you is loaded. It's a big question. what is the better, and it's clear to me that both of these are probably top one and two all time in terms of anime twists. Is it, you know, Eren Jaeger and the, like, foresight that is the Attack Titan creating a time loop in Attack on Titan? Or is it Naval Laser being a double agent in My Hero Academia Season 7, dude? Both so consequential to the very fabric of our understanding of storytelling.
I had that spoiled for me 2 seasons ago.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that was like...
that actually, I do. That does blow. I mean, I was dunking on My Hero a little bit, but that does suck.
That was one, I think, you know, again, our coverage like 2 seasons ago, I think I had mentioned, like, I had seen something and I was kind of waiting for that to pop up. And there actually was a couple, you know, little teasers they did here and there, which is kind of to see. Obviously, I couldn't say anything, but yeah, dude, I don't know. Obviously, Naval Laser, I guess, is the answer to the question. But I don't know, man. It's... the show can get so sloppy sometimes.
Yeah, I didn't find so, that very well done. But
it's not that it wasn't. Yeah, no, I think I get it. But they, this is the problem My Hero has of many. But they some you know like they knock it out of the park sometimes. They do really good action. They're really good at like introducing a character quickly, getting to know. You know, we've said this 100 times. But what they are bad for is like stuffing the emotional weight into a scene that very rarely feels like it needs it. Yeah. And yeah, it's
that's so sorry. True. Oh,
bear with me 1 second, dude. The cat's trying to get out the door.
Oh, okay.
Be banging away.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty. All good. But you're right. It's funny, it's like they do stuff an emotional scene down your throat sometimes where it's like the payoff can it only works if the audience cared the whole time, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if anybody gave a shit about Naval Laser.
The funny thing is, to your question that you asked me a couple moments ago, is the show had the hubris to treat this reveal as if it was Eren discovering, like, you know,
yeah,
like all those big things. And it does not even remotely like come close to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they give a
lot of screen time to it. A lot. Like it almost 2 full episodes.
It's holding itself on a thread of between Midoriya didn't have a quirk and Naval Lizard didn't have a quirk.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is really like, again, that's what you're going to like, you know, hold on for your dear life on. But whatever, like, you know, we move on. They've got a plan set up. You know, it is what it is. But I am actually like really enjoying the season so far. Like, I don't know if it's because we have enough distance between the last one, which we did not like. I don't know. It feels strong now. Like they are moving along at a pace they don't normally move at, which is nice.
That's they're so going true.
A little so quicker. They're kind of just, you know, it's business. I'm sure we're going to hit a brick wall at some point. It's just going to be like, you know, 4 episodes and they're going to lose their momentum and they're going to try and catch up. And it's just going to be like stop and start. But
you and I used to call it like back when you covered season 5, like we were talking about like, oh, we need more time on the main plot thread, right? No more distractions. But we've had a lot of that in the last season and a half or so. So like they are actually moving at a pretty good pace. It's, you know, My Hero can feel like a fun Saturday morning cartoon. And then it can feel like, oh, like we're actually going to, we might be coming up on some closure here on some of these like really main plot threads that they've been like breadcrumbing for the better part of a decade. Mm-hmm. So it is exciting to see like the board is set, the chess pieces are moving. Like we can almost sniff a conclusion at the rate that we're going. So yeah, to your point, I just hope we don't get more peaks and valleys where it's like, oh, I can almost see the end and we're going to spend a season and a half on, I don't know, Midoriya and the, Ochako, like a dating arc. You know what I mean? Like, if that would exists,
crazy.
I
would slap that in the middle of the season,
dude. I wouldn't blink. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I guess is my point. Like, that is the type of shit that they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, oh, we're gonna throw a Valentine's Day party. Here's 8 episodes on that.
So funny.
I said Valentine's Day weird there, but you know what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think you're good on My Hero. By the way, that's.
Yeah. I am enjoying it. I'm, you know, like I said, it's been a while since I've said it. Like, I look forward to the next episode of My Hero. So
yeah, I just want to briefly note Mashuko only had 1 episode, and I didn't sign up for that.
do. We have even less episodes. We have like 4 left in this season.
What?
Yeah. 12 episodes
season. Because
this is like a second core.
Because we dicked around for the first like 5, right?
Yeah. Don't make me open that freaking can of worms again. No, but I got way too heated last time. But
I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, so like this whole big arc of like this labyrinth arc of setting up and saving his mom, are they really just going to go 4 episodes on that?
Wow, that's actually a pretty big bummer when you put it in that frame of... When you put it in that perspective, because we spent 15 on Sylphie and Rudy like circling each other, knowing one another's identity when you look at it that way, which is kind of backwards. That's kind of nuts, eh?
Yeah.
Kind of a bummer. Well, okay, so let's... On the positive, I liked this episode, season 2, I episode 19. We got back to the juice. We got back to, like the adventure fantasy part of the adventure fantasy show.
Yeah.
Which, like, sometimes it's like... I don't know. I think I look at Mashuko very differently now. Like...
Mm. I think you have to, yeah.
Yeah, like, we've seen... Now, you've seen more anime... Or anime, but also fantasy stuff in general than I have. Mm-hmm. But so now, if you were to say Mashuko is a fantasy, I'm now going to think of Frieren, and I'm now going to think of Solo Leveling,
mm-hmm.
Shangri-La Frontier.
Big time.
And Mashuko is not a direct comparison like to any of those when you think about it that way. Like, it's a very, very different show from everything I just mentioned.
Yeah, it's more like a straight up traditional isekai, whereas, you know, Solo Leveling is, you know, kind of like almost like an inverse, like the world, like the fantasy elements have kind of bled into their world, and Shangri-La is like a video game, so it kind of touches it a little bit. I mean, but Frieren is like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, even like on what the story focuses on, you know what I mean? Like Frieren is just straight adventure. Solo Leveling, you could probably, and Shangri-La, I think you could make an argument that like they're adventure shows. Main character, start, progress, right? Mm-hmm. And this is more like main character, start, like he's progressing for sure, but it just so happens that like that quote progression doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with like, let's explore the world you are isekai'd to. It's often like, let's explore our feelings while staying in the same setting for long stretches.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so I think my closest comparison, and not, you know, for not wholly comparison, but I would say the closest thing that is ReZero, where it is a lot about, you know, I think that's kind of the crux of the show is like, you know, depression and kind of dealing with death and whatnot, and kind of just how that's kind of baked into the story. But they do, I think, a similar effort into maybe just like a slightly leaning more into more effort into kind of building the world, where it's less kind of like, you know, thrown in, oh yeah, I guess these people have these, you know, kind of how Mashoku is like, as it appears, it kind of gets into it. But yeah, I would say that's like the closest comparison. Again, but they also don't kind of dip back into like the old world, whereas Mashoku is obsessed with both. You know, so it's in a way is holding it back, I think, too. All the Nanahashi stuff, where I do like it, is I feel like is really slowing everything down.
It's an interesting plot mechanic to me because I haven't really seen it before, but it's weird. But then again, like, she came in handy as a source of plot mechanic convenience at the last second with this one, with like the discovery of the teleportation circles.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
They would have needed 8 episodes without her. You know,
ridiculous. Like, it's... I don't know. I think
I'm enjoying excited. It still. It's more than last season, I think, at this point.
Oh, 100%. I'm excited for things to like go wrong and like shit to hit the fan. You know what I mean? Like, there's some eeriness that they're setting up with the way the teleportation circles work. I love that they're like, we're just fighting monsters again.
Yeah, that was a little spooky, eh? When the elf goes back and there's like a time lag, and like, but we don't even know if that's true. Like, Yeah.
Also, Rudeus,
I could totally see like he gets back and the kid's like freaking 10 years old. That would be
That would be nuts.
The sister's growing up. Yeah, I could see that. That's I think.
Oh my god! I hope you didn't spoil that. That's such a good
theory. No. I've seen nothing online about this.
That's
show.
That's crazy. So,
yeah.
The
first thing I thought of when there was the lag.
They're about to interstellar that shit. I think is what you were gonna say, Grant. Yeah. For Mashuko, season 2, episode 19. So, yeah, that's a great theory. It's so good, you better not have ruined it. I'll tell you that. But no, I bet something goes wrong. RE teleportation circles.
Anything to do with the teleportation circles, nothing has ever gone correct or right.
Yeah.
And then also it's been quite a while since there's been some trauma in the show. I would be shocked if it did not involve at some point in this, or if something did creep up in this arc.
Yeah.
Part of the arc, rather.
Also, it is neat to see that Rudeus, just generally speaking, seems more powerful, right? Like, that is one of the many things that the show has done well, is just showing that he's, like, kind of been consistently leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
And is kind of king shit at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
The fight choreography with him and I still find the Elena Louise character kind of
Sylphie's
silly.
Sylphie's grandmother, yeah.
Is that who she is?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like a whole part of one part in the season there. Yeah, chastity belt, you must have loved that.
Oh, I was furious. I was furious, dude. I was like, what? No, I'm not going to go down that path.
Picture a crotchety date. I could literally picture you on the couch, like the exact way you're sitting, and just like the huffing to yourself. It was like,
come on, what are we doing here? But the fight choreography with the two of them is sick.
Dynamite. Yeah.
So what is, she's, okay, so because she has this sex curse, it has what granted her long vitality or something?
No, I think, like, she's an elf. I think she has that, but I think.
Oh, okay.
The whole point, because she was like banished from the village, or she's deemed as like, you know,
unclean
or whatever, because I can't remember the reason, if there was like someone as traditional as like only one partner in life or something like that, or again, I kind of glazed over that whole point, but she felt like she needed to leave the village, or she had a son, but she had to leave. Because of, like, you know, probably her, you know, the curse, right, and her being, you know, sleeping around or whatever the case was, is my kind of assessment on that. So that's why Sylphie grew up with not even knowing about her, or had an inkling of her. But
totally forgot that. I must have blocked it all out. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that is a bummer. There's barely anything left of Mishuka this season, but hopefully we get some cool shit. And I'm ready for some trauma, dude. Give me some trauma.
I will say, I thought it was funny because it was obvious what was happening when Rudeus was being kind of like lured out into the desert by what we find out to be a succubus.
That was sick.
The transition from, like, you know, desert maiden to the succubus was like, whoa, that's like a big ass bat. That was really cool.
Yeah,
it was really well done.
Agreed. That was and like, as stupid and fucking horny as this show is, in that moment I was like, all right, that kind of worked.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Briefly, for a moment, it worked. Okay. Oh, you know what I finished?
What?
Shogun. Finally.
Yeah, dude.
I'm obviously behind. I recorded a Instagram reel or a TikTok or whatever for it. Speaking of which, you should follow us at Part Time Otaku Podcast on both of those platforms, where we share all kinds of stuff. But I think on the whole, I'm very happy with it, and I'm kind of I kind of agree with what you said. Like, I'm pretty fulfilled with the end.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we need more.
They're gonna fuck up these two seasons, Sam, almost certainly.
So Sam looked into it briefly, because when I was looking into it to record that TikTok, I saw that it was based loosely off a novel.
The show, like the season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I read some. And, well, I knew that much, yeah.
And apparently there are multiple novels, but they're not a continuation of characters. They're like, it's like an anthology.
So what I had read, the author had written 8 books set in Asia. Yeah. Only 2 of them take place in Japan, so the one that this was on, and then the second one is like hundreds of years later, like,
yeah,
nothing to do with like the same families and all that. But I can see them trying to, like, you know, gore their way through that and like trying to make the parts fit. Like,
so this is the problem, and we're not, you know, we could spoil it. The season has been out and finished for a while now, but but I think this is the tricky part, right? Is what decision will they make? Will they simply adapt the next book that takes place in Japan with a new cast and just keep, like, the producers, the showrunner, the talent, you know what I mean? Like,
well, Toranaga's signed on for 2 and 3.
Yeah. As definitely as on-screen talent.
I believe, I would imagine,
yeah, that's
so.
That's tough. That's tough.
But I don't know, man. Just leave well alone, you know. But again, they saw the money; they can't help themselves. Like, it's Disney. Like, I'm not surprised. Yeah. But I will just always be able to enjoy this, though, right? Like, it's, yeah. if the other ones aren't.
But yeah, they could very easily end up spoiling it, right?
Yeah.
I will say, you know, I don't think these criticisms are unfounded, just based off the marketing. You know, I did see some, like, you know, some of the easy negative stuff that you could say is like, oh, like, there wasn't really a lot of action, and like, from the marketing, I kind of thought we were gonna get like just people, like armies, just slicing each other up.
Hmm.
And we didn't really get that. It was much more diplomatic, much more cloak and dagger
drama, yeah, subterfuge, yeah,
which I heavily enjoyed. But yeah, if you like came into this off of my like, oh, it's Game of Thrones with samurais might be disappointed.
It's funny because, you know, the only people I've talked to about it really are like you, and then, you know, like my father-in-law. He watched the original show, and, you know, it was just, and, you know, he was talking to people around his age. Like, there was so much, most people were super excited for it. It is in my circle where people had watched the original series, and it was just fascinating to hear that. Just like they were just ready to see more, and like, they loved it. Everyone loved it, right? Like, it's just, I think it's like our generation of like, they got to cry about it, not cry about everything, but just like nitpick everything. But like, the book is this way, right? Like, it's apparently it's a very honest adaptation. So,
which is pretty cool. I think, should we talk spoilers?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay. Spoilers for the end of Shogun. I will say, I really thought Mariko was going to make it to the end there.
Yeah, that one was like, whoa.
And I think that while, you know, I might have minor nitpicks, one of my biggest nitpicks being like, we don't actually get to see, we see it in a way, but not really. I would have loved to see the look on like Ishido's face. You know what I mean? When everything falls apart, one final conflict. They kind of didn't do that, which I was a bit disappointed with. But one thing I think they nailed in the finale is like, the loss of Mariko's presence, like, that's really hard to pull off. To
with feel Blackthorn, and then the like the house attendant, or like technically his like consort, his consort, and like Fuji. Just the Fuji, like the silence between the two of them, and he's like, you know, no Mariko, and oh, it's just like, she used holy to be there cow, to fill man. That
space, and the same with him and Toranaga, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. He has all these characters he hasn't truly interacted with without her, and like, you feel this hole in the show and in him. That was like, I was like, shit, that's actually like something shows don't pull off often, is like the lack of a presence.
Yeah. You want to talk about like earned emotional weight? It was that.
And I think it's Anna Sawai who portrays Mariko. Yep. She fucking crushed. Like, that was
so good.
Really, really, really well done.
It's actually so crazy to me because I would never, ever call it. Like I said, I've only really seen her in two things. She's in this. What and else? Then she's in that Apple show, like the Godzilla one. I was called it The Hunt for Godzilla. It's not Monarch. Legacy of Monsters.
No idea.
And I got halfway through it. You know, I plan on getting back to it. I just never finished it. But she's in that, and like, I found her to be like a very stilted performance. And to see her in this, like, kind of like crushing every scene she's in, I was like, damn. Sometimes it's just like, you know, it's maybe it is like the what you're working with, right? Like, you can only do so much. But she was a fantastic, she's probably my favorite character in Shogun. Well,
I'm sure she's gonna have some options ahead of her.
Yeah, big time.
Sorry, Severus is building a sandcastle behind me. But we've had so many issues today there. Yeah. we just gotta roll through this, Grant.
Yeah, double cat interruptions.
Okay, do you have anything?
I got two quick things. I saw the new Planet of the Apes movie, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, and?
I really liked it. I love those movies.
Yeah, well, I knew that, but this is not Matt Reeves, right?
It's not Matt Reeves. It feels very, like, you know, I think my worry was they were going to try and go in with, like a copy and paste version of Matt Reeves and just kind of do their own thing. It's not. They are taking the world that he built and just taking that, like, that natural step with it. And they tell a really good line of, I think one of the biggest themes of the movie is like, time kind of washes away context, and like in normal human history, right? Like, which is, you know, it seems obvious, but to see it played out for the apes, and there's a big part of the movie is kind of, certain sects have kind of bastardized Caesar's, kind of beliefs and like kind of like what he fought for. And there's it was very good. There was a couple scenes of CG or like the motion capture they did. I was like, is that a fucking ape on the screen right now? Like there was a couple like genuinely like just blew my mind. Visual shots. It was really good. One crux on it, you could feel the weight of them setting up a trilogy. Very much. And you could feel stuff that was like clearly removed and they're just trying to like pad it out. Which Rise of the Planet of the Apes, like the one before when Matt Reeves got involved, I went and rewatched that and I could feel a similar weight to it. Like, I think it's not a better movie, but you could still feel like we're doing a trilogy again kind of thing. So
interesting.
So maybe the next one will be good, but yeah.
No Andy Serkis this time either, right?
No Andy Serkis.
Obviously, I guess.
It's a real bummer. Super strong villain. Super strong villain. And we did not get enough time with him. It's one I'm curious to see what the bonus features are going to be in the deleted scenes, just to get a little more screen time with him. Because he was fantastic. I think we were kind of shorted on that. But interesting. Yeah.
Oh, right. No, go ahead.
And then just the other thing. I finally got around to watching The Iron Claw.
Oh, is Zac Efron?
Yeah, dude.
Pretty good, eh?
Have you seen it?
No, but I've heard, like, pretty good.
Very good. Probably one of the most depressing movies I've watched in quite some time.
Really, eh?
Like...
Who does he portray again?
So the movie's based around the Von Erich, like, it's like a historical wrestling family from Texas. And they were, like, around the time they were kind of... like outside of like the WWF, or I don't even think it was officially the WWF at that point.
It was like
point.
Regional, right? Like they weren't.
It was
huge.
Regional, but no, they were huge, dude.
Oh, okay.
Like the family kind of ran pretty much in Texas. Like they owned all the wrestling, like all the events, and they organized all that, and they did some out of state stuff as well. But Zac Efron, incredible acting chops in this movie. Very, very good.
Best he's done. I read a lot.
I would say, like, again, like totally yoked, like. The body on all of them was just truly exceptional.
I saw a lot of... He had, like, the HGH face. Like, there's... I think when you're going to portray...
But it's also post his serious motorcycle accident.
Yes.
And all the... It's the first one, like, with all the face restructuring.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff behind that. Eh? It's very interesting. Yeah,
very, very interesting. But I gotta say, he is not the performance of the movie. Like, it's neck and neck. So the dad, who is a great villain... you watched Mindhunter?
Yes.
So like the two main characters, not the Groff, but the other guy.
Holden?
Holden, yeah. He plays the dad.
The dainty one?
No, the older dude.
Oh, okay. Holden is the young slim guy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm not talking about Jonathan Groff, the other guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's got a great I'm blanking voice. On his name.
No, me
dude,
too.
Dude, he is fucking evil and terrifying in this movie. He's like the head of this, like he's the patriarch of this wrestling family. And just like
Bill Tench, played by Holt McCanley.
Holt McCanley.
Yeah,
he is a phantom, a shadow over this family. It is awesome, dude. I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
You can easily see him being a good villain. He has such a great voice.
Yeah, dude. And he uses it in this, like just like the way he like puts them down and he fucks with them and pits them against each other and like very good, great, great action. The choreography. One of the better, like, you know, there's just that always true, like, not even in movies, but like, you know, you talk to a wrestling fan and, you know, it always ends up coming up. Not necessarily like we would ask it, but someone will inevitably always ask, like, well, that's fake, right?
Yeah.
Zac Efron, he has a monologue in this movie where, you know, that scenario comes up and it's probably one of the most elegant, like, wow, like sold me on, like, again, I believe it, I understand, like, you know, I don't watch wrestling, I'm not a fan, but like I respect all of that, and it is like a crazy convoluted world, but
it's a very peculiar thing, and it's giant in the United States.
It's huge. And Japan, there's a really cool thing about talking about how one of the sons has to go to Japan and they're like, you cannot be the world champion unless like Japan agrees to it, and like you got to go there and prove yourself in Japan. Jeez. I thought it was just, they get into like the early, like the 70s 80s marketing of like who can be a champion and whatnot. But anyway, so he delivers a monologue to this character, kind of just like regaling of like, no, like it's not fake, and like just it was one of the most level-headed and probably one of the takes I hadn't really heard before. It felt very like real from someone that was truly involved with it. One of the highlights in the movie for me. It stuck out. It was like a highlight reel for him acting, I think.
Well, you know I'm a big UFC fan, and there's more crossover with them and WWE than you would think, because they're owned by the same...
As years go by, yeah.
Well, that, and also they're owned by the same parent company now. They had a merger at the beginning of this year, and it's very interesting how big the industry is and how big the fandom is. And yeah, that's awesome to hear, though. It reminds me, I know that it's a different kind of wrestling, but just hearing you talk about it reminds me of that movie Foxcatcher that I've also not seen.
Oh, that's a good movie, too.
So Channing Tatum, yeah. Steve Carell, right?
Yes, sir. Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo is really good in that.
Man, Ruffalo. Yeah. I just want to... Anytime I hear a good thing about Ruffalo, I want to watch Spotlight. Anyway, you see
Spotlight. They knew.
They knew. Poor guy. He gets clowned on so much for that.
I love it.
Okay, I got one more thing.
Sure.
Very different compared to what you were just talking about. I've been watching... I haven't finished it yet, but I've been watching Tires on Netflix.
I watched the first episode.
Yeah, so... if you're a Shane Gillis fan, and that's a very specific if... then I think you'll like it. I think that's probably the shortest way to put it, right? Like, I would say lowbrow workplace comedy. And if you like his comedy, you will like the show. And if you don't, you won't.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. His cousin makes me, like, there's something about him that just puts me off.
Who's his cousin?
The manager? The manager?
Steve Gerben?
Of the place? Yeah. Is he like a known comic? You know him?
I don't know that he because Shane Gillis does that Gillian Keeves thing,
okay,
right? And he puts out these comedy shorts, and everybody in this Tires show has been featured in these shorts that they've done together. Okay. So I don't know if they're just friends of his or what the deal is or how he knows them, but I will note this season, like before it got put out, Netflix renewed it for season two before season one aired. And the inside baseball track on that is this was self-financed by Shane. And then he sold it to Netflix. So the production value you're getting is what him and his buddy could afford to do.
I was going to say, it kind of looks shitty. But
yeah, it's not. But I mean, when you think about that, it's self-made. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that changes it.
They'll have Netflix budget next time, right? So curious to see where it goes. But I do remember when he was doing press for this, he said, like, we do really try to make the show... focus on the Steve Gerben guy, that's the actor's name, the manager. And yeah, like, if he doesn't work for you, that's a big piece of the show.
Creeps me out. I don't know why. I feel bad. I don't like saying it. It's like you and what's his name there? Friggin'
Will
chicken,
Poultry.
Will Poultry. Yeah.
Fuck that dude, man.
So just hurts me. But,
just ruining good movies and good shows all the time with his stupid face.
But you're right. It was like, it was 100%. It was Shane Gillis fair. Like, the jokes landed. Like, they're very on brand.
They're very lowbrow. It's surprising to me that they're putting this kind of stuff out. But it's been number one in the U.S. for 5 days straight.
So hot right now.
So it's interesting. I don't know.
You see, Hulu just bought a similar show from Cheeto and Bobby Lee.
Cheeto. Anderson. Cheeto.
Yeah, Cheeto Santino. Yeah.
Oh, Cheeto Santino. Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, apparently. I was, I heard something today talking about in like news of like the Tires release. They just signed a deal with Hulu or something like that.
Interesting. And I think Tom Segura is doing a dark comedy, black comedy of some kind on Netflix as well. So it's going to be interesting just in general to watch this space, right? Because these comics, like everyone we just mentioned from Segura to Santino, Bobby Lee, Shane Gillis, they're all playing theaters, if not arenas in North America and internationally right now. But none of them have had what you would call traditional mainstream media success.
Sure.
None of them have had a sitcom. None of them have had their like Louis.
Well, Andrew was on. He's been on a couple Showtime shows.
He's been on Dave, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's
no.
Not...
He was the main character in Jim Carrey's
kidding
stand up show. No. Jim Carrey produced a 70s set. A 70s set like I think not still standing. Blanking on the name, but he played like. Like an LA comedy, like a Chicago guy
that's
in
pretty
LA,
cool.
And who else was in it? Fuck, one of the guys from Workaholics was in it. I'm blanking on his name. He's on Marin every now and then. But anyways, that was a really good show. I watched both seasons of that. And it was, I'm surprised you haven't heard that, but he was the main character.
Never heard that. I know he has acted more than any of those guys, though,
yeah.
Like on that podcast scene. I guess the point I was getting at was, like, it's interesting to see how big a lot of these guys are and yet haven't had their own show at this stage. And now that seems to be happening, but it's, like, a lot of the time, it's funny how the humor doesn't translate. I think Shane is a really good example of it translating, though. Like... That is his humor, so it's either going to work or it's not. You know what I mean?
That's what's popular right now. The generation loves it.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's tires. Check it out if you are into that kind of thing. But I'm not done it. I'm a couple episodes in, but I think I'll keep watching. There's only six, right? They're like 20 minutes. It's practically a short. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Are we about done? Is that about it?
I got one quick thing. I got a shout out.
Hit me.
Sakamoto Days. The anime was finally announced. There's going to be a January 2025 release for that. Probably Leanna's most anticipated anime or adaptation announcement. Yeah. She is over the moon. The trailer came out. It looks amazing. It looks really good. Great voice actor.
There's a trailer out already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I thought I had sent that to you.
It's possible I missed it.
But it's like a minute and a half. Really kind of... You know, it doesn't get, like, this show is a true, my biggest hope is they just animate the actions, like, set pieces. Like, the detail they put into this manga is incredible. Like, amazing, amazing fight scenes. I really hope they just do that, you know. And everyone's worried because it's the Dr. Stone studio, but I know they're good at comedy, and they're really, you know... I don't think Dr. Stone's really kind of like blown its budget on animation by any means, but I hope. Anyway, I hope they pull it off. But yeah.
I know it's a really big one. Is it coming this year?
January. January.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Good way to start
the year. It's a trailer far in advance for an anime. But then again, remember Chainsaw Man was literally over a year.
Well, I was reading today, just apparently, like, Sakamoto Days is, like, the number three title for Shonen Jump right now. Since, like, it started. It's consistently in the top. Like, I think One Piece is still, like, at number one, and then it kind of jumps around. Like, two and three kind of jump around. But Sakamoto Days is huge. There's a lot of... that's why everyone was kind of shocked it's taken so long.
Interesting.
To get this. So I'm wondering if they've just been working on it a while and they're, you know, they're confident or they wanted to, like, knock it out of the park. But
yeah,
super excited for that.
Damn. So, okay.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. I'll check out the trailer tonight.
I think you'll dig it. It is a show at 100% you will enjoy.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll end on that. Sakamoto Days.
Yes, sir.
Check out the trailer. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, whatever, wherever you listen to it. Okay. Just subscribe, you know, just, oh, and also we're on YouTube, and then Instagram, and then TikTok at Part Time Otaku Podcast. Hit us up. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Grant, go ahead. Say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.